Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Sherlock Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week I'm joined by Tor Cardona and Heather Steele. Hi guys.
Hello.
Have you guys been outside today?
Yes, and I've got some new freckles to show for it as well.
Oh, nice. I know. I think by the time the podcast comes out, it won't be nice anymore.
So oh, is that the plan?
That is the weather plan, yes. How are you guys? How are your weekends?
Yeah, I mean, uneventful. I guess while lockdown is still still in place, just trying to get like some last annoying DIY tasks done before like we're actually allowed to do stuff at the weekends. But yeah, it just feels like the last few weeks, I don't know if I'm just being like over ambitious, but yeah, I just feel like all the stuff I actually want to do never quite works or never quite happens. So then you end up getting to Sunday night feeling like really grumpy because you haven't actually done what you wanted to do. So yeah, I kind of feel a bit like, ugh. But I was until the sun came out.
Well, you've got a big housing project.
I'm not going to lie, it's quite overwhelming and it's definitely more of a project than I realised. I didn't know quite what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, it's nothing that's like structural. I mean, nothing massive anyway. But it's like, this could be a full-time job in itself. I haven't really prepared myself for this, but it's really fun. I feel really lucky and it's a really fun thing to focus on. So I really get that as well.
Well, I don't know if we've talked about this on podcasts before. So for those who don't know, you and your fiancé have just bought a house a little bit outside of London.
It's quite far. The drive is an hour and a half from Clapham. So it feels very far. Mm. It's on the East Grinstead train line. So it's about 25 miles outside of London.
Tell us about it. What is there to do? What's on the list? Like, where do you even start with the reno?
I wouldn't really say it's a reno. I'd say it's more like a deco reno, like just painting and like sorting out his really questionable decor. And actually, it was so nice when we finally got the keys. He kind of offered to give us a tour. So basically, he bought this cottage in like, I think it was like early 90s and knocked it down and rebuilt it. So it's kind of old. And then he rebuilt it in 1998. So it's like new, but also old. And he's an incredible kind of builder guy. So it's obviously his baby. So he was so keen to like show us around. And I thought it was going to be like, oh, you know, this door, you know, it takes a bit of a lot, you know, this is how you do the lock and this is how you do the boiler. I mean, we were there for like 2 hours and he was like showing us around this house, bless him.
But that's amazing because so often you'll move and you just have no idea about anything. So
we had no idea where the gas meters were and we kept getting the new people being like, we need a gas meter reading. And we finally found it was like outside the basement flat's front door, but like down these windy stairs where you just had no idea that that's where they were.
Exactly. So it's really useful. But he was showing us around the bedroom and he was like, oh yeah, I love this room. You probably won't want to touch this bedroom. I was like, mate, you kidding? Have you seen the colour of it? But yeah, no, so it's just a lot of painting, really. It's a really cute kind of 4-bed semi-detached with a nice garden. And at the end of the garden, it's got the most amazing, I think he was into motorbikes because it was his, I remember when we went to see it, it was like full of bikes and it was his workshop. But he basically built that to, he was going to make it into a granny annex, like for his dad. He was really ill and then his dad sadly died. So he never actually had time to kind of make it into more of a house as opposed to a workshop. So that space is currently like a building site and then we're going to make it more into something fun. So that is probably more of the kind of planning. Yeah, exactly. But again, like that isn't, I kind of want to like click my fingers and it all to be done. But I appreciate that's probably something that doesn't really need to be done urgently.
That's so exciting.
Exactly.
You know, how are you splitting your time currently? Are you there full time? How, you know, we're going back to the office for a few days a week, you know, later in the month once we're allowed. So kind of what will you do? What will your lifestyle be?
So our plan is to kind of keep this flat in London as long as we can. Financially, it makes zero sense. But I kind of don't want to be so far out when things kind of get back to normal and all the fun resumes. I'll be that person being like, sorry, guys, got to go and get the last train home. I'm going to try and keep this as much as I can. And the plan is, I think, to kind of do Mondays to maybe like Wednesday or Thursday in London and then head back there for like to spend longer. I mean, the commute is so doable, but I kind of want to like find the balance a bit, I think.
I mean, so beautiful, the best of both worlds.
I know. I'm really, really excited. Really excited. And I think, you know, in terms of the painting and stuff, like we made like a massive list of like, it's like 3 pages of everything that needs to be done. And like, we've gone, I've got like priority one, which is like painting the bloody purple bedroom and doing the bathroom.
I mean, dream. That will be a matter of weeks, surely.
I hope so. I hope so. We're working there on Wednesday. We're meeting a decorator just to get some quotes for the painting. And oh my God. Also, I had no idea where to start when it comes to doing up a bathroom. Heather, did you do your bathrooms?
What were they like? It's tiled like everywhere apart from the ceiling, and it's fine. It's not what I'd have chosen, but we're just saving up to do it, basically. So I haven't even, the kitchen is my priority in terms of like, we've done everything else ourselves, but yeah, the kitchen is what we're saving towards at the moment. So once that's done, I'll turn to the bathroom. So yeah, I can't offer you any tips on that, I'm afraid.
What's so overwhelming?
I literally, like, do you go to the shop and buy like a bath and a loo and like then get someone else to fit it, or like,
yeah, you can plan
it for you? I just had no idea. I mean, I know now.
What do you do, Tor, or anybody? Because I don't know. Like I say, we've done everything ourselves. But like, if you can't afford like an interior designer, is like anywhere you can go to just get like one person to kind of give you rough quotes for just how much general jobs will cost across your space?
I was thinking the same. I was like, I really want an interior designer. I can't manage this. And there are so many new services that like exist to do exactly that. I mean, I think you can pay something like, it depends on who the person is, but anywhere from like £200 to £600 per room. And they can like create mood boards for you and like help you plan it, like in like a little kind of floor plan thing.
I think some of the paint companies do that as well. You know, Lick, the paint
company. Yeah. Yes.
They will help you like color match your space and, you know, explain to you kind of what sofa would work in what space as well.
It's interesting. Because yeah, I'm not so much bothered by that, because I quite like doing all that kind of stuff myself. But I think it's like what you were just saying before, Tor, it's just going somewhere so you know you can get a rough accurate quote of how much general jobs cost. Because there's some things I'm like, oh, we won't bother getting that done because it'll probably be really expensive, but that's just because I assume it is. Maybe it won't be.
Also, I might be really old to this trick, but the website House, H-O-U-Z-Z, has anyone else gone?
Oh, House? Yes, I have heard of that.
It's like a kind of like trustedtrader.com on steroids. Like, you type in what you want and there's like everything, and then you give your location that gives you all like recommended like tradesmen, but also like loads of, it's kind of like Pinterest as well, like loads of ideas. And Heather, it gives you like, they might show someone's bathroom renovation, it says like cost like £5,000 to £6,000, or it gives
you
like,
that's the kind of, okay, that's great to know, because yeah,
it's so handy.
The other thing there is a platform called The Expert, which was launched, well, it was soft launched I think towards the end of last year, and the founder is a guy called Jake Arnold. I don't know if you guys follow him on Instagram. He's Jake Alexander Arnold on Instagram, and he's an interior designer. He's actually from London, and moved out to LA a number of years ago, and is like a top interior designer in LA. He's really big on Instagram. He's works with, you know, just so many famous people. Who's working loads with Chrissy Teigen at the moment. Basically, this platform is like a kind of Rolodex of 100 of the best interior designers in the world, or the most popular on Instagram, you know, the people, the interior designers with big followings. And you can basically book a 1 hour slot with any of them over Zoom to talk through your plans. Wow. It's obviously not cheap because these people are huge, but you know, you might not have the budget to have Jake Arnold decorate your entire house, but you can pay £1,000 and consult with him for a full hour about a space or a room or whatever. And as I say, there are so many different interior designers on there. I think like Bobby from Queer Eye on there, like so many different people kind of all different styles and tastes. So if you're looking for just to kind of run a whole load of questions past an expert, then that's what you need to look at, The Expert.
Interesting.
That's amazing. The ones I've come across on Instagram, she's called House 9 Design. Do you know how to follow her?
I recognise the name. I feel like I've maybe snooped through the account before, but I don't think I followed them.
Right. Yeah, she's really good. And they charge about £600 per room.
That's really interesting. What, £600 a room, to me, what, like, as in they'll do mood boards or something?
They have 3 different levels of, like, packages. So I think they do, like, a floor plan with furniture layout, design mood boards with key furniture selections, colour palettes, fabric suggestions, linked retail shopping lists. And then they give you like one round of revisions, and then they kind of constant 24/7 like access to them for like a certain amount of time.
Interesting. Charlotte, what's your situation with house stuff then?
Yeah. So as we said, we exchanged last week on ours, finally. I remember when our house, the purchase of that house fell through at the beginning of COVID, I remember just like hysterically being spent. I was like, we're going to still be here this time next year. And he was like, no, we won't. I was like, yes, we will. Anyway, here we are. Still here. But finally, with a bit, with yeah, light at the end of the tunnel. So so we decided to focus on selling this and before buying anywhere else. So now we can, touch wood, as long as completion goes through, we'll be in a kind of happy position of being chain-free buyers, which obviously is a nice position to be in. So we're going to rent for a little while, and yeah, managed to kind of hook it all up quite quickly. So
yeah, you found somewhere, because when I spoke to you last week, you were like, we haven't found somewhere to move yet, but we need to move in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was quite stressed. I think it was towards the end, it was the end of the week before last, yeah, that I was, yeah, futzing a little bit. But no, got there actually really quickly. I mean, we've been lucky enough to never rent before, so we're like completely stunned by what the rental market is like. Like, it moves so quickly, it's absurd. Like, we put an offer in on somewhere in maybe like the first week of March, and we were usurped by a couple who could move in like that Friday, and it was Tuesday or something.
Oh my god.
I'm just so relieved that we found somewhere just, yeah, pleasant for the next few months. So that's really exciting. And yeah, we move on Thursday.
That's so exciting.
I know, I feel so tired and drained, both kind of physically and emotionally. We spent the whole weekend kind of packing up. The flat's relatively small, and the only downside to the fact that it's newly decorated is there's absolutely no storage there currently. So we're going to be living off rails and out of piles of clothes for a little while, which makes me feel a bit sick, but anyway, we'll get
it. I know, but it'll be so worth it. So worth it.
Yeah, and we've got some outside space there, which is
great for Scooby and you guys.
Yeah. You know this, yes. So that's all really exciting. But we use a great service. There's a company called Rubbish Taxi, and they basically come and collect all your rubbish, and they'll take anything. Like, they'll take a bed, a fridge. I mean, we didn't have things that significant to throw away. It was more just like, we did a big clear out of the kitchen and all the kind of junk that accumulates. But they literally just come, and they have scales in the back of their truck, and they just whack it all on and charge you by the kilo.
Oh, wow. That's
amazing.
There's a call out fee, so it adds up a little bit. But I mean, if you ever just need to get rid of a load of stuff, and ours was all bitty, it would have been really hard to take it to the dump. You know, it would have been like 100. Yeah. So yeah, I really recommend. That was good. And then, yeah, my personal storage facility, aka mum and dad, have received all my winter clothes. Yeah, we're good to go. We're basically moving just with like our clothes and the dog.
How nice to be there though, like, even if it's just for the summer, like, you'll always remember the summer because you were somewhere different and new. And yeah, that's really nice.
It's a bit of an adventure. And yeah, we've moved completely different. We've moved west, so exactly that, we're seeing it as a bit of a kind of spring summer adventure. And hopefully we'll be in a house, as long as balls keep rolling, kind of by the beginning of the summer. One thing that we have done, one thing we treated ourselves to, because we'd be getting outside space for the first time, is we bought an egg barbecue, the big green egg.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's incredible.
My dad literally nearly had a heart attack when we talked about the price. I don't think my dad's ever spent more than like £40 on a barbecue. It's a real investment. But we had like a little lump sum from our wedding, and we figured that was quite a good, you know, we'd either work, otherwise just spend it on crap. So it was quite
a great wedding gift.
Exactly. And yeah, so that will be coming in a few weeks.
Oh my god, what size did you go for?
The sensible small person.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because some of them are insane.
Anything to recommend, guys? Have you been watching anything good? Have you been reading anything good? What have you been doing last few weeks of lockdown? Last chance to binge, fingers crossed.
Of course, I've been watching Line of Duty, so that's been my main
thing.
What
do you think so far? We've had two so far.
Okay, well, it's kind of interesting. I'd be interested to see how you feel about it, because I know you only started watching it, was it this year or end of last year? So you've kind of watched it all in quick succession, whereas I've sort of seen each series as it's come out. So it was a bit, when there's been a few more familiar faces popping up, it really is like you almost are like, hang on, is that so and so, rather than, I guess, if you'd seen it quite recently, you'd be like, oh, there they are. But no, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I mean, the first episode was all about like setting the scene for a new set of characters and circumstances, whereas the second episode was more sort of harking back to stuff that's happened in the past. So yeah, I mean, I love it, to be honest. It's got bit sillier than it was back in the day. But, you know, there are a few, you know, Hastings saying a couple of catchphrases yesterday. So Twitter was going mad with their bingo sheet.
I was just about to say, I've seen lots of Line of Duty bingo go. I must
be. Yeah, it was a classic for that if you wanted to get close to a full house. But no, I'm enjoying it. And I think it's come on at the right time. I know. 9.6 million people watched that first episode, which is just
mental.
A lot of people. So I think, yeah, they definitely did the right thing, kind of putting it out there just before lockdown lifts, reeling people in. And we've got 7 episodes this time as well, instead of the usual 6. So yeah, I'm expecting lots of good things to happen.
Line of Duty, I think I'm going to really struggle to watch it every week. Like, particularly if you've binged it, I think, in the past, then I think I'm just going to have to wait now and binge it all, because this is torture to kind of watch it.
My thing is, though, that I'll find out what happens online. So that's why it's one of those shows like Game of Thrones and other such shows where you almost, I feel, have to watch it on the night, or else you'll see something you don't want to see.
I was quite nervous.
My problem is watching Gogglebox, which I love. Absolutely. And then I watch it, I'm like, well, now I feel like I've seen everything everyone's talking about.
Yeah, so
I
don't want to watch
the series.
Sometimes you can watch a whole movie via Gogglebox. You're like, okay.
I love it. It's how I get my cultural fix on a lot of things.
I love it. I have to say, I was always so anti. I never used to like it. I used to think it was such base television, but I love it. I've got so into it.
It's so good. Who's your favourite?
Those girls, the two really northern girls.
The Leeds girls. Sisters.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're great.
Honestly, and it goes like deeper than just thinking they're funny. Like, they're so positive. Like, they're such sunny, positive people, and everything is just a laugh, and everything is a like, oh, screw it, doesn't really matter. Like, they're such a good lesson in not taking life too seriously. Like, they really just buoy me a little bit. And
yeah, they're great. How about you, Tor? Have you got faves?
I do. Well, the ones I love who haven't made an appearance this series, and I really hope they're okay because of COVID, are the two old, really old ladies who are like best friends.
Of course.
Oh, I love them. They're kind of like naughty.
Yeah, they come out with them. Stuff you're really shocked by even now. You're like, what?
I love
it. Watching. But like you say, it can give away. It feels like you need to have watched anything you want to watch before you see it, because it will give everything away.
And also, like, really harrowing stuff. Like, I remember they watched, maybe it was on the Celebrity Gogglebox, they watched Us, the film, with that horror movie.
Yeah.
I would never have chosen to watch that movie, and then I'm just casually sitting there watching Gogglebox on a Friday night, just completely horrible horror characters. Speaking of, actually, have you guys seen the trailer for Antebellum? But it's from the producers of Get Out and Us, and it looks crazy. It's a girl who's like stuck in two realities, one a black girl and one is as a slave, you know, in the deep south in the 1800s, and one is as a modern woman. She's kind of flicking between the two, but it looks really chilling. Like,
it's
really
Janelle Monáe, I think, isn't it, who's playing?
Yeah, it's how it
is. In that same vein, there's another thing coming out, a series called Them, that looks really similar to Us. It's a black family who move into a really sort of white suburban neighborhood, and all the neighbors turn against them, and it, like, the trailer for that looks horrifying but very good.
It's a really interesting genre. We talked about this, we talked about Get Out a few weeks ago when Lou had watched it. God, fascinating and so chilling.
Chilling, oh my God.
Well, anything to recommend?
So I'm actually reading a really good book by Jessie Burton, who I love as an author. The Miniaturist, and also The Muse. I loved for its like Spanish setting, and her new book,
The Confession.
Yeah, have you read it, Heather?
No, I did a My Life in Books with her, though, when it came out in hardback, and she was very, very generous with her answers, so I absolutely love her now.
Oh, she's so... I think I've actually waited for it to come out in paperback, which is why I'm only just reading it now, but I love the way she writes. It's so good. Such an interesting story. It's about a girl who... I think her mum goes missing when she's about... or disappears when she's about 7 or 8. And then it's not, like, no spoiler, but within the first, like, chapter of the book, you find out her mum had a relationship with this other woman before she was born. And now she's just kind of come across this woman by, like, searching her, like, hunting her down. And I believe she's going to kind of find out the secrets. I think it's, like, a kind of mother-daughter kind of exploring worlds. There's obviously like some quite big twists to come.
I was
good. It's really good.
I stumbled across her on Instagram actually the other last night. Jessie Burton, this is not the girl in the book, and she uploaded a picture from when she'd finished it, and it was really saddening, because you know how you kind of have these kind of whimsical ideas of writing a novel and just think you kind of sit down and bash out a book, and that, and you could see in the background, like by her desk, she had like every single chapter and every single subplot on a different post-it note and this like really elaborate, intricate map of the story. And I was like, oh, it looks like a lot of work to be quite such a success.
I often think that about J.K. Rowling. You know, how did she actually, when she sat down to write the first book, had she planned out like the character and the plot for every single kind of, you know, the whole thing, like the whole empire of like thoughts? It's fascinating.
She must have. It ended so beautifully. It's not like a kind of Game of Thrones where clearly the decisions were made kind of towards the end. You know, it really felt, Harry Potter felt very wrapped up, didn't it, into kind of a perfect little bow.
He hasn't even finished Game of Thrones. He's still got some bloody books to write.
I said waiting for his moment to release his book.
He's writing other books. It's like, mate, come on, you're getting on a bit now. Do not leave us hanging.
Can I just really quickly recommend one thing? I did talk about it at the end of the show last week, but I'm watching Call My Agent.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, which is not new, I'm afraid. So that, I'm sure there'll be people listening who have watched it already, but it's so good. My parents watched it and they kept saying, watch it, watch it, watch it. And it is so good. It's a French kind of dramatic comedy about a group of agents at a talent agency, a kind of small boutique talent agency, but they represent all the biggest talent in France. I mean, this is it's fictional, but every episode contains a cameo from the biggest movie stars in France. And I guess French cinema in Europe is, you know, so, what's the word, so celebrated. It's so brilliant. It's so funny, like so funny. The characters are amazing. You completely fall in love with them. And because it's subtitled, I love that you have to kind of put your phone away and just actually really focus for an hour. It's so refreshing and keeps me it makes each episode feel really long as well, which is really nice. It's something to kind of really get your teeth into.
Get into that.
Yeah, Heather, you'd love it. There are 4 seasons, 6 episodes in each. Absolutely loving it. So good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When I was flicking through the papers towards the end of last week for inspiration for the podcast, we did find a Daily Mail article asking what your guilty lockdown secret was. An artist, as part of a project, invited members of the public to anonymously submit their guiltiest lockdown secrets. And I mean, these go quite dark, I'd say, some of the highlights from the Daily Mail. They included things like, I got so fed up with my husband not making a fair contribution to our family life in lockdown. I started cleaning the plug hole with his toothbrush every day. He hasn't been sick yet, damn. I like that one. And then somebody said, I'm having passionate secret sex with another man's wife and I love it. So as I say, they got quite up close and personal. I don't for a minute expect anyone to divulge that kind of information on the podcast. However, I will ask you if you have a lockdown, a guilty pleasure, shall we call it, in lockdown that you'd like to share. Tor?
Before I say mine, I have to say I love the person who said they were like pretending to their other half, they were going for a jog and they went to the park bench and ate cake.
Yeah.
That was so good. I love that. You know what? I've been thinking about this all weekend. I want to think of something really, really fun to say. I think obviously just really boring. But what I have been loving, and you might not think this is a guilty pleasure, but does anyone else watch or has watched Below Deck Mediterranean?
No, but I feel like one of the only people who hasn't.
I haven't even seen Below Deck, although I know I'd love it if I allowed myself to watch it.
It is just the most amazing level of escapism. I think it's the combination of like looking at like nice scenery and like beaches and the water and like being on a boat. That's just great, like kind of substituting vaguely for a holiday that we're never going to get. And I did a ski season when I was in my gap year, and like to me it brings back that like sense of like banter and like with your colleagues and the stupid petty fights you have and like hosting things and like making beds and cleaning loos. It is so good. I can't tell you. Like, I binged the whole thing in about 2 days. I'm obsessed. I'm so sad it's over.
Is it recent?
Yeah, it must be, because it's on 4OD, and I know on Netflix there's like Below Deck Caribbean and there's like other ones, but yeah. I think the Mediterranean one is it's definitely pre-COVID.
Because sorry, the Below Deck on Netflix, like, if you start from the beginning, is in like 2003 or something. It's really
that long ago.
Don't quote me on that, but you know, it's a really long time ago. Yeah,
the most feel-good thing, and that's kind of my guilty secret of the last month.
Thank you for confessing, Heather.
It's okay.
Mine's also TV related, but not quite the same thing. And I think I might have maybe mentioned it on the podcast last year, I can't remember, but I don't know how this has happened, but I've basically really got into watching cricket, which
I don't know why.
Heather, that's so cultured. Why do you think it's not shed with the Low Deck?
No, it's not. I've always hated it before and just thought it was like the most boring thing in the world. My boyfriend watches it, and just like, I think ever since the World Cup, like 2 years ago when England won, and I've just been seeing more and more games, I've like suddenly got really into it, to the point where I got up earlier than my boyfriend yesterday morning so I could watch the final day of India versus England for the full day. Because it's like a full day's cricket. I just sat in front of the TV watching it with the dog on my lap. Just like,
what is it about it that you like?
I don't know. I really fancy Joss Butler, who, like, that's part of it maybe. But also, but I don't know. I think now I've watched a bit more of it. Like, I've kind of got to know the players a bit and kind of care about them and want them to do well, and I don't know, there is an element of tension to it as well. Like, once the second half begins, you're kind of like, oh, what's going to happen? And I suppose, yeah, just because I'm sort of learning more about it, I feel like I kind of know what's going on now. Probably not, I don't know, guilty or whatever, but it's definitely shocking to me. Like, it's something I never ever anticipated I would enjoy.
I mean, like, I don't mind, like, if it's on, like, watching it or like a bit of football, but like, Heather, to sit on a Sunday and watch the whole match all day, because Tim was watching it all day as well, like, that was on from like 11 to like 6.
Yeah. It started at 9 a.m. I was watching it. Yeah, so that's my weird lockdown revelation.
I would say that is pretty weird.
It's really weird, honestly. I find it the weirdest out of everyone. I think that
when life returns to normal, you and Tobe should go to like one of the one days or like the T20. Exactly. That's really fun.
He's already booked to go with his mates, so I'm a bit like, oh. Things that have some time away from me.
Charlotte, do you have a secret?
No, do you know what? I think my biggest thing is that the rhythm that suits us is that I cook and Ben cleans. But when I say I haven't cleaned, like, I haven't, I no longer have anything to do with like the running of the household. Like, Ben stays on top of the kitchen roll, the toilet roll, the cleaning supplies, I haven't filled a dishwasher. I mean, in 7 months, 8 months, like, he's done.
What about your washing?
No, I do my laundry. I do my own laundry, but and like, you know, I'll change the bed sheets or whatever, if you know, if there's that kind of job that he's doing. But in terms of the kind of everyday, I'm talking about kitchen specifically, that I literally haven't touched a thing. And I think I'll really struggle to go back to that being a shared responsibility, where, because Ben's basically become a house husband. Like, he's been at home every day. I mean, he's working, but you know, it's his domain. I've obviously come in and out because we were lucky enough to go back to the office for some time last year. So it still feels more like, and you know, he works in the kitchen and I work kind of in here in the room at the back. So yeah, it's very much like his space. So whilst I kind of provide the food, I feel like it's not swapping roles, you know, it's not swapping traditional roles, because I still cook, I guess. But I'm quite embarrassed by how little I have to do with the polishing of the space. I mean,
no, I think that's fair, because he probably thinks, oh, I feel so like embarrassed I don't have to do any cooking.
Yeah,
possibly. Like, I think that's so nice that it's shared. I love that. I wish.
I like cooking. He takes real pleasure out of cleaning as well. Like, he loves doing it. So
envious. I hate cleaning.
Well, he's very angry. So then I think, you know, it appeals to him. He gets very stressy if it's not all perfect. But anyway, so that's great. I can leave him to, you know, if, God forbid, I touch the dishwasher, it's not stacked to his preference. So I just leave him to it. I don't mind, because I don't like doing it, but I will also feel like I probably should do it. So yeah, I guess that's my guilty pleasure, is leaving all the clearing up always to my husband. Let's move on and talk about staying organized. We interviewed 10 successful women on their key to staying on top of everything. Those women included Connie Nam. She's the founder and CEO of Astrid and Miu, a jewellery brand we love. Samata, she is CEO of Red Carpet Green Dress, which is an amazing company. Chrissy Rucker, Whitney Bromberg-Hawkins. I mean, really, it's an illustrious lineup of organised women. So I want to know, what do you guys do to stay on top of stuff? Tour, house renovation, which is a full-time job. You have a full-time job. What do you do? How do you stay on top of things?
You know, I thought I was organised and I read this feature and I was blown away by some of these women. Like, their level of organisation is, like, scary. Yeah, the founder of Sana Jardin, Amy Christensen, who says she plans her son's meals for 6 weeks in advance. I was like, oh my God, on an Excel document.
Yeah, wow.
I do like a good spreadsheet and I like writing things down. I have a good old house spreadsheet, which has about 600 tabs, a wedding spreadsheet, which has about 600 tabs. But on, like, a personal level, I put a lot of things in my diary. I know this is such a time-old trick, but I do even, like, diarize things like workouts. And when it comes to meals, I'm really organized with my cardio. And yeah, I think it just really helps knowing what's in the fridge and, like, however busy you are, there's always going to be, like, healthy stuff to hand, which, you know, creates a cycle of just, like, feeling better about yourself and wanting to be organized and being productive and et cetera, et cetera.
I listened to a podcast this weekend on Hodge, on her recommendation, our show manager, and it is called The High Performance Podcast. It's with Jake Humphrey. Do you know who I mean? He's a sports presenter, but he started out on, like, CBeebies back in the day.
Yeah, I know who you mean, yeah.
And he works with a professor called Damien Hughes, who's a psychologist and or a psychoanalyst. You know, don't quote me exactly what he is, but, you know, some kind of... somebody
brain expert.
Brain expert, exactly, something like that. And they interview, again, like, high functioning people, really successful people on how they are successful. And I listened to Matthew McConaughey on this podcast this weekend, and he was basically saying exactly that like, if one thing is out of whack kind of health wise then everything else goes to shit. He was like, if I'm starting to feel whatever it is, stressed, or, you know, I'm headachy, or, you know, like, things are going wrong, I take a step back and say, am I eating right? Did you get enough sleep? You know, have I done a workout? Have I had fresh air? And I have, you know, you have to recalibrate all those things before you can even think about everything else going well.
Interesting.
Heather, what about you? How do you stay organized?
Yes, yeah, kind of similar to Tor, to be honest. I don't know, maybe it's to do with, like, being writers or something, when our jobs just, like, involve lots and lots of different things and having to research stuff constantly. But yeah, kind of lists are my thing. I've got you know, a thing on iMac called stickies, which look like post-it notes that you can have on your computer. So I have those all
what?
Yeah, and they're just kind of always on your screen if you want them up there. And I've got, like, one for stuff we're doing at the weekend to do with the flat stuff, one for, like, yeah, what I've ordered online food wise and what days we need to eat it by, one for, you know, spending between us that we need to make sure we spent the same amount, like, loads of boring stuff, to be honest. But I've got, like, one for different things.
You put food expiration dates on those post-it notes?
No, but then I work out, like, right, this is the food we've got in for this week, and, like, then I work out what we're having on what day based on, yeah, I'm not, like, on
the 7th, it needs to be eaten for the 5th,
No. But yeah, no, just like, yeah, what we're going to eat, stuff that needs to be done. And then I've got one for, obviously, work as well, and, like, every day what I'm going to do. And then I've got a separate spreadsheet for work as well, with, like, which features I'm going on what day, like, what stage are at, who I've interviewed, when they've got back to me, when it's written, when the images are in. Because I think... Yeah, just, well, with everyone's life, there's just so much going on, I think, unless it's kind of written down somewhere.
So I'm a real pen and paper person. Like, my to-do list is, I have to write it down and physically tick it off. Yeah. I'm all for a spreadsheet for kind of the macro.
Yeah, like, bigger tart. Yeah, like, yeah, macro, yeah.
It has to be on pen and paper at all. What about you?
Yeah, I write my to-do list down. And actually, Heather, I know things change, but I get, like, a weird satisfaction. Like, later, like, now when we finish this, I will, like, start a new list and be like, one, like, what I need to do by the end of the day, like, start again. I make lots of little lists within the day.
And my list is hopefully getting smaller, unless there's some emails waiting for me that suggest otherwise. So I find that quite satisfying.
I've also started, like, I do like a master to-do list, which is, like, for me, like, I mean, work-wise. So for me, then that it'll be like show, SL, yeah. Goals, man. Yeah. And then I, like, hone in on specifics for every day, and then refer to that big list, and then I can add into those sections and stuff as the week. Otherwise, a bit like, as you say, Heather, then the list just goes all over the place.
It can get a bit wild.
The lady in this feature, Anna Barris Brown, she's the co-founder of Shine for Women. And I don't know if you guys read hers, but like, my God, hers is very complicated chip-based system. She thinks she kind of divvies her tasks into three different chips that like blue, red and white, as if it was a casino. And blue are precious. She says blue chips are the most precious. Red is somewhere in the middle and white chips are huge, but less valuable. So blue are things that are like really important to her success as a, you know, as a mother or a leader or whatever. So it's, you know, making sure she has important meetings. And then red chips are things that you need to do to get the blue chips done. So it's, so she even puts like being active on LinkedIn as one of those. And then white is things that she can basically delegate. So like making appointments or posting on social media. I mean, not all of us can delegate them, but anyway, I just thought it was really fascinating.
Delegating was booking holidays and cooking, which I'd love to do.
I know, it would be lovely to be able to delegate these things, but I guess it's
important to all business.
It's interesting to see how somebody at that level,
yeah,
keep every all the balls juggling in there.
Tim does that as well. It's got like a name and he like every day he like writes his paper in four and he does exactly that, not with like chips, but it's like, and there's like different categories.
So clever. I've heard of people doing that. Yeah, really.
There is science behind it. The Eisenhower matrix, it also referred to as urgent important matrix, helps you decide on and prioritize tasks by urgency and importance, sorting out less urgent important tasks. Well, so there's, yeah, essentially things you should do first, so really important. Then it's like schedule, important but not so urgent. Then it's like what you can delegate, and then it's like what isn't urgent or important, so you like really could be done like a Thursday or Friday.
Okay, love that. I might do that.
Yeah, because every week you can really like plot things out. I think I can like visually, if you like writing things out, I think it'd be quite nice to see that.
And also, you know, you can write down your whole to-do list and be so overwhelmed by things, and then actually, you know, you can, if you actually boil it down, you, it's not as stressful as you think, because exactly, you might be doing this on a Monday and it doesn't need to be done till Friday. So
exactly.
Oh, I'm gonna steal that. The Eisenhower what?
Make
the Eisenhower matrix.
Okay, good tip. All right, well,
very scary.
Yeah, very scary, but also very clever. If you're looking for more tips on how to stay organized, then definitely have a look at the feature that we wrote on the site. I think we will leave it there. Thank you so much both, and thank you for listening too. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. we love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.